have been watching the news, and I have just been going, wow. Rodney taught my grandson to do that. Walk through the house, holler, wow. I said, did he say what I thought he said? Wow. Then he went, man. But the stuff I've been seeing on the, I mean, just the stuff people are doing is absolutely crazy. How many saw the news when the girl went to her car, went in her glove box, got her gun out, and went and just shot up the other car? Modern day violence. I mean, just, they got it on camera. She just shoot. Last night, on Southfield Service Drive in 7 Mile. You have got to be protected. You got to be. Because you got to live. And you got to move around. If you just stay in your house, you might as well be a hermit. That ain't what God called us to do. But in the process of all this, God expects us to do what? To still be disciples. God's been dealing with me about discipleship, that we have really got this discipleship thing twisted. And but I'm finding out, pastors, that I see why it's actually so hard to be a disciple. You know, the disciples, they did some miraculous works. You know, they opened blind eyes, and the deaf were raised from the dead. Just like Jesus, they were doing the same thing Jesus was doing. They were, deaf ears were open, and they were casting out spirits without even laying hands on folks. The things they were doing were absolutely tremendous. Yeah. What they boiled John on the Isle of Patmos in oil. They boiled him in oil before they sent him to the island. And he survived. How do you boil somebody in oil and they survive? How do you be on your knees like Stephen and look up to heaven and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. While he's being stoned to death. Just imagine being hit with big, not little rocks, I mean big stones, and having the audacity to say, Father, don't hold it against them. These disciples were absolutely off the chain. Don't hang me upside down. Don't hang me up on the cross like you did, Jesus. Put me on the cross upside down. Hang me by my feet. Put the nails through my feet while I hang upside down. These type of things that they were doing, that these disciples were doing. And not just the men disciples, but even the women apostles that had been called and chosen by God. They were doing some tremendous things. But they paid a price. God is looking for some disciples in this latter day. And I've been telling this all the time. It's going to cost us something. But just recently when I've been studying this thing, I realized it's going to cost us a lot more than what I thought. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew. I'm not going to keep you long because I know the weather is about to do something to us out there. It don't have a choice. Have you noticed that even the weathermen can't predict what's going to happen now? With all their electronics and what do they call those things? Beacons and all kind of satellites, they still can't predict what's going to happen. Because it's out of control. It's out of man's hands. God is trying to put it back in our hands by us becoming true disciples. But it's going to cost us. Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to start with the 24th verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let me see if I can read this to you. Listen in the Amplified. Listen to this. The reason I chose this certain Amplified Bible is because the words come from the original writings. From the original Greek and Hebrew writings. They come from that. And then Jesus said, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Here's the kicker. Disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself. Notice that. And his own interest. See why ain't nobody raising the dead, Todd? We too caught up in this world to do that. Right. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again.
Amen.
To disregard and lose sight of himself, forget himself at his own interest, and take up his cross and follow me. That means cling steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Think about how Jesus lived. Just think about it. He said, deny yourself and live the way he lived. You know what we think about mostly? The crown they put on his head. Which the spikes were 2.5 inches long, which definitely had to touch his brain. The way they ripped the skin from his body. I mean, that these pictures we see of him on the cross, that ain't right. It's impossible to look that good and be beat with a cat of nine tails. With 39 stripes. Those things on those end of those tails are about this long, and they are sharp. And they ripped his skin. He said, deny yourself. Take up my cross. How many folks in here, me included, if they decided they were going to beat you and you saw them pull out a cat of nine tails and they said, it's time to deny Christ or take this lash. This thing is serious. We don't know how serious this is. The things we deal with don't seem to be this bad, but they can be because they affect us mentally. They affect us because we see things. We hear things. We feel things. We're emotionalized. And in that process, we have the ability to have our attitudes reconstructed by what we feel. He said, disregard yourself. For whosoever is bent on saving his, they call it, the word is translated temporal life, his comfort and security here shall lose it. Now what are we trying to do? We're trying to preserve our lives. It's quiet in this house. We're trying to preserve our lives. What choice do we have? I'm understanding now why folks don't see what discipleship really was. Discipleship was no joke. Them folks, they absolutely denied themselves to do the work of the ministry. They accepted their beatings. They accepted their jail time. for the glory of God. For what a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's verse 26. You know, I don't usually use these in church while I'm teaching a ministry, but I felt so compelled to read some of this so that the clarity of our understanding would be as a child. For what will it profit a man? You know, I ain't got used to these electronic stuff things yet, but I'm working on it. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Meaning that if you get everything that you ever wanted in life and still miss God.
That's right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Right. Right.
Beautiful cars, beautiful homes, beautiful wife, handsome husband, wonderful kids, money in the bank, sun rooftop. Think of the scene with a gangster leader. Y'all, I thought y'all know what I'm talking about. But you understand.
Yes.
We've worked hard to get this stuff.
That's right.
We sow our seed to have this stuff. We trust God to have all this stuff. But are we doing the gospel?
Amen.
Scripture says you're in this world, but you're not. But it's hard sometimes not to be a part of what you're around all the time. God's been really dealing with me about this discipleship. And then, as I began to really study, I mentioned it Wednesday morning. If you really look at discipleship, if you change a few of the words, letters on the end, it turns into discipline. That's why they were the disciples they were, because they were disciplined according to and by the word of God. Because they had made up in their minds, if it costs me my life for the kingdom of God, I'm going to live and structure my life according to the word.
That's right.
Amen. Discipline. You know what the church is full of, lack of? Discipline. We don't have the discipline to do the things we need to do to be good disciples. Study to show ourselves approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Discipline. Disciple. Praying without ceasing. Disciple. Discipline. Loving those that hate you. That's discipline. That's discipleship. Right for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. That's discipleship. Discipline. Jesus was telling them, he was saying, you are my disciples. You need to be disciplined according to the word that you've heard me preach.
Right.
We don't hear Jesus preach, but we read this word.
Yeah.
And we understand that there's a life that we're supposed to live according to and by. Because it says, for the Son of Man shall, let's go back to, shall a man give in exchange for his what? For his soul. Or for who he is. You heard saying, whatever's in a man will come out of that man or woman if the right situation presents itself. You make sure what come out of you represents the kingdom.
Right.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and they shall reward every man according to his what?
Work.
To his doing. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing? Let's go to Philippians. We're looking at today disciplined disciples. Yeah. Philippians, the second chapter. Discipline. I found in earlier years that in order for me to do what God had ordained that I do, I had to be disciplined. And there were times when I was not disciplined. Those times that I was not disciplined was the time that I found myself falling. Folks can brag all they want about how easy it is to serve God. I found it to be a struggle. It's hard to love you, and I know flat out that you absolutely hate me and everything about me. It's hard for me to pray for you, and I know, not from hearsay, but I know for a fact that you're talking about me.
Yeah.
And dogging me.
Yeah.
And attacking my character. God said, pray. How easy is that for you? I'll be honest with you. I had to take authority over my tongue, because there are times, Sister Nancy, when I wanted to say, want to do the past heart, God, why don't you just kill it? What drove me to that point was I got to a place where I was no longer disciplined according to the scripture, and I just didn't feel like it could take anymore. God, the word says, he'll put no more on you than that which you can bear. And I understand that. And I felt like I had poured all I could bear. But that's the time when God said, it's time for you now to be disciplined and bring those things under subjection to the word that I have already implanted in your life. Discipline is living according by and through faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It don't look good, Pastor Keith, but it's going to be all right. I feel like crap, but I still know God is a healer.
Amen.
Yeah.
They talking about taking my home and shutting off all my stuff, but I know God is still a miracle worker and a provider.
Yes.
Discipline, discipleship tells you that you got to live by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Because when you live by sight, you live by your feelings and your emotions. God is trying to make some disciples through their discipline.
Yeah.
Look at Philippians, the second chapter. We're going to start with the second verse. It says what? Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what?
Like-minded.
Meaning the same mind, also having the same purpose. Having the same love. Being one of accord. The word love here is translated harmony, having the same harmony towards all people, and of one accord and one mind. Meaning, you have to have one purpose. Your purpose is what? To be a disciple of Christ.
Amen.
Are you glad you're a Christian? No, I want to be glad I'm a disciple. Because even the heathen call themselves Christians.
Okay.
There's got to be something in your life that sets you apart, that makes you different, without having to flap your gums and tell folks how spiritual you are. It says, let nothing be done through what? Strife. or vainglory. So what do? We custom our lives according to the Word of God. Because if we don't, we don't have a chance. God is looking for disciples. When it says one mind, it says having the same intention. Which means good intentions. Intentions according, directed by the Word. It says, look not every man on his own things. Why? Because God expects us to what? Be lowliness of mind and let each other esteem each other better than themselves. They're good at that. You preach. They tell you, I ain't got to. You do it. Everybody up here be trying to get out of preaching. Is it true? I'm trying to figure out how to work this thing. I should have let our pastor Anisi do it. I'm all over the place. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was in Christ? We would say the mind of the Father. Actually, it was a mind of discipleship. Because he was disciplined even unto death, even the death of the cross. Saints are no longer disciplined. I used to tell myself, Brother Tony, I was crazy. I had hernia surgery on a Tuesday, was in church on a Wednesday. Barely walked, but I was in church. They let me have it. I've had radiation and was in church and preached that next day. Was I being a big shot? No, it was discipline. The discipline taught me that if you do the work of the Father, He'll do a work for you.
Amen.
I was in church that Wednesday morning when they was doing hernia surgery. When I got mine, they was cutting you. There was no arthroscopic or whatever the stuff they got now. They just cut you open and put mesh over that thing, and you just were done for 8 to 9 weeks. I was up and doing what I wanted to do in 3-4 weeks. It was because I honored God. It might have seemed stupid. Common sense would have told you, man, you just had major surgery. Stay home. But something compelled me to do what I've always done. That's be in church on a Wednesday morning. The church is no longer discipline. We like Burger King Christians. We want to do it our own way. We want to have it our way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, hold the trial, keep the struggle. We act like we're driving up to a window. When the Bible says, thinking not strange, the fiery trials that you're going to have to deal with. Stuff you got to deal with. And you got to show forth the glory and the gospel of God by giving God praise, honoring Him, doing the will and desire that's in your life that He put in you anyway.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let this mind be in you. The mind is translated attitude. Why? Because our attitude governs our longitude. I find that most church folks got bad attitudes. And most of the time you don't find out till you catch them wrong. And seeing that we made of flesh and blood, There's going to be some times we're going to catch Sioux folks wrong. Ask me how I know. Amen. I'm about to close. Because y'all don't act like y'all like this message. Go to Colossians. God wants us to be true disciples. All this talking we doing ain't getting nothing done. Our lifestyles ain't doing nothing. We want everything handed to us on a silver platter. It says, Jesus said he's coming back and you're going to be judged through your works. Not the kind of works that your witnesses are doing. But the works that are in the book of Galatians. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, long-suffering. Those works. Temperance, against such there is none. That's what God coming back for. Those are the works he taught. That's what makes you a true disciple. But it's going to cost you. It's going to make your flesh mad. I'm just going to use me. Pastor Elvin, I've been so sick sometimes. I've said to the Lord, why me? I don't deserve this, Brother John. You said in your word that if I was faithful in a few things, you would bless me in the much. And I'm assuming that the much has something to do with me being healed right now.
Right.
Did he heal? I went through it. I'll tell you like this. I'm sure if God would talk to us, he said, my disciples ain't wimps. They're soldiers. You gotta be a soldier. Even more than a soldier now, you got to be one of them. Navy SEALs or something. You got to be crazy about your faith and willing to do anything for your kingdom.
Yeah.
A Navy SEAL or them Marines or them different special forces services, they'll do anything and they say they're doing it for their country. You got to do it for your country, which is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Glory.
Glory. Are we only willing to go so far? Colossians 1 and 22. If ye continue in the faith, that means to remain. That don't mean that you stop going to church. That don't mean you stop walking in tongues. That don't mean you stop praying. That means that you stop letting the love of God flow through you. A lot of folks go to church talking tongues, but don't have no love of God in
them.
I was complaining about a certain minister that was here years ago. Excuse me, he had to be about 25, 26 years. Complaining about this minister, I just kept complaining, and God spoke to my heart. I was sitting on that floor, and he says, shut your mouth. Don't you know my word? I go, yeah, I know your word. What are you talking about? He said, evidently you don't. Don't my word say that gifts come without repentance?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be righteous to work in the gifts of God.
That's right.
Don't worry, I'll mess somebody up with that.
Amen. Amen.
That's why he wants us to be disciples.
Right.
True disciples.
Man.
So that you'll represent your gift with honor, with dignity.
Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Grounded. That means to be firm. I was thinking about what is a good example of being firm, and I thought about that pole. I see kids running to this pole all the time. thinking it's going to move. Sometimes I cut through here with the lights out, thinking I can get through. I find the chairs, Brenda. But you know what I'm really trying to avoid? Them two poles.
That's right.
I can bump into this chair, it's going to move.
Yeah.
Now I'd run into that pole and hit my head and talk about myself for not turning the light off. Because it didn't move. That's how firm God wants us to be. When stuff hit up, bash up against us, knock up against us, we are unmovable. And we are abounding in the work of the Lord. Mean ever increasing in spite of what you're going through in your life. Why? Because you are no longer just a Christian, but you are a disciple of Christ. You've been bought with a price. Your life is no longer your own.
That's
so,
right.
I think we have forgot that. Goes on to say, being grounded and settled. It means to be unmoved and then not to be rattled. We get rattled by so many things. And when we get rattled, we forget about our faith.
Yeah.
And who our confidence is in. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I don't know what your hope is. My hope ain't for a BMW.
Oh my God.
Amen.
My hope ain't for a 20-room home. My hope ain't to have money just flowing out my pocket. My hope is to see Jesus return.
Amen.
Amen.
And take me with it.
Amen.
That's where my hope is. That's why I do what I do. That's why I deal what I deal with. That's why I pray and I see. That's why I study and show myself who. That's why. I love folks that I know hate me. I pray for folks I know despitefully use me. That's why I lift up folks I know don't lift me. I have mercy. Folks don't have mercy. Because I'm living, I'm doing it for my hope.
Yes.
Man. Man. Man.
That's my hope.
Man.
That one day the Lord gonna say, come on in, my good faithful servant. Not get thee from within in front of me, you worker of iniquity. That ain't talking about worldly folks, that's talking about church folks. Church folks are lawless. Worldly folks just hellions. Okay then. I'm not going to be rattled. I'm going to be steadfast. Trusting in God. Hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereof Paul I have made a minister. You put your name in the place of Paul, you have been made a minister. And it's time for you to do some preaching. Don't mean you got to be in front of a pulpit. You can be anywhere and preach. Every time you show somebody the love of God, you're
man.
Preaching. Every time you have understanding for somebody, you're preaching.
Man.
Every time you encourage somebody that in your own flesh you figure they don't need to be encouraged because they ain't nothing anyway. But you encourage them nevertheless. You are preaching. When you do the work of the ministry, you are preaching. You are heralding that God is in charge and in control of your life.
Amen.
I got a friend. I know he got up and checked himself out of the hospital. And he is terribly sick. And when I saw him, I said, did they let you out?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. I said, they let you out. He said, yeah. I said, you're lying. They didn't let you out. You checked yourself out. Well, what makes you say that? Because if the hospital had released you, they wouldn't have gave you an 80-year-old oxygen tank. Common sense. They gave you something up to date if they wanted you on oxygen. They are oxygen now, things you can almost carry in your hand. you pulling one. That tells me that you checked yourself out and you done went and found you an oxygen tank somewhere and you using it.
Yeah.
I pray the blessings of God on your life.
Yes.
Because I hate stupidity. Saints do that. I got faith. I'm going to check myself out. Go ahead and die.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out when you check me out. This discipleship, I just don't really know how to express it. God's called us to it. You know what we're doing? We're touching it. We're smelling it.
Yep.
We're seeing it. But we're not in it.
Man.
We haven't become a part of it. Not just you, me too. And you know what it is? Because in most cases, we have wives and husbands and children and jobs and dogs and cats that we have to take care of, which need our attention. So anytime something else needs your attention, it takes away from your attention from. I tried to make it easy on myself, but Lord God was saying, well, disciples with none of them married. I'm sure that none of them have dogs or cats. None of them had homes. They had no concern for nothing but the things of God. But then that's why Jesus said, these things I do, you shall do also, and even greater, because I'm going to send you somebody.
Yeah.
It's time for us to be true disciples. For true worshipers shall be called the sons of God.
Amen.
We have to make it up in our mind what we're going to do for the kingdom of God and how we're going to let that kingdom flow through us. Don't get it twisted. It ain't as far as it seems, and it ain't as close as we think. But it's coming. It's coming. And I don't want to be like the virgin who ran out of oil. I want to make sure I got something in my lap. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be a disciple of Christ. As much as I love Paul's teaching, I don't want to be a disciple of Paul. I want to be a disciple of Christ. The resurrected Christ. In that case, I'll always be saying I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to see you like you are. I don't want to see you the way somebody that told me you look. I want to see you as you are. And I know there's only one way I'm going to do that, and that's to be a disciplined disciple.
Amen.
Those are the old songs you say, I shall not be moved. I never shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Well, we're no longer trees. And we allow everything that comes into our life to move us just a little bit further away from discipleship. Don't get it twisted now. There's some people that really gave up everything for the kingdom of God. But I doubt if you run into them, because they're not going to run into our circle. Because in most cases, if they are true disciples, they're not going to want to be around nobody but themselves. Because they don't want you to infect them with your ideas, your principles, your horse sense. Amen. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I made wine when he put me through stuff to get me there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask God to let me be disciplined enough to go through. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this stuff. I'm sick of this. It has too much control over my worship, my praise, my study, my giving, and my servitude. One of the greatest prayers I've ever read in the Bible was the one David prayed. Lord, created me a clean heart. That's got to be the most powerful prayer I've ever heard. Because if you kill the heart, the body I've seen folks live without brains. I see it every day. I ain't gonna catch that in a minute. I've seen folks live without everything but a heart. I read in, saw in BBC, one of the news stations, where there are doctors over in Germany actually trying to reduplicate the human brain. And you know what's so crazy about it? They'll succeed. But you know what they will never be able to make? A human heart. Because when God breathed the breath of life into a man, God, he smacked his heart. When they used to smack their babies when they were first born, you know where that pain went straight to? That's how important your heart is. That's why folks leave me here every day, because they're not allowing God to create in them a clean heart. Everyone's standing.